I wanted to acknowledge my collaborators. One of them's here in the room up front, if anybody else. Oh, yeah. As a woman of height, I sometimes have trouble with these microphones. Gosh, I guess it won't. I guess I have to lean over. It can't. Oh, this far? I'm going to get a bad back. Can you all hear? This is better. I guess I can hear it now. Yeah. okay. So my disclosure here, nothing to disclose. And just to give you a little bit of background of what's funding this research, it's a little different than usual. Our School of Public Health, if you are in the public health area, changed its name fairly recently to the Gillings School of Global Public Health, and that was actually due to a very generous contribution from a former faculty member named Dennis Gillings, as you might guess. And so there was an opportunity through that funding to kind of try more cutting-edge research than you might be able to fund through some typical research opportunities. And our focus has been on whether eating local can address a number of public health problems, including obesity. So as you all know, there's been a huge boom in terms of interest in local food and sustainability. And we're fortunate that even you know, Michelle Obama has really moved things forward in the sense of putting this front and center. So what is going on with all of this? Why is local food so hot or so cool or however you want to describe it? I think what I'm most interested in is whether or not what the issues are related to access when it comes to local food. I think a lot of people just sort of assume that it's a high-end niche kind of market. You know, they see farmers markets where the prices are generally a lot higher, which is not always the case. But I think we're moving more in a direction that it might actually be a potential to a solution to food deserts, and that's the way I'd like to see us go. But why is all this interest in local food? Well, I'm sure many of you have seen Food Inc. and read Michael Pollan's work and that sort of thing. So, of course, the sort of bottom line things are food miles, environmental issues, economic revitalization of rural communities, but then I think we have a lot less data on what the connection is to nutrition. And I think if we can find some data that connects good nutrition, obesity prevention to local food, we're going to be able to move the field forward. So what could be the possible connections? Well, it's always a challenge to get kids to eat enough fruits and vegetables. I think we all recognize that. But there is the potential that local food is tastier because it's fresher. I think there's mounting evidence that kids will try food when they've grown it and or cooked it. It's fun to visit farms, meet farmers. Kids are being exposed to a lot of new things that are exciting and may change their eating habits. And then just an educational part of it as well. So our question then for this particular study was, if parents buy local food, will their kids be more likely to eat their fruits and vegetables? And what are the barriers to families eating more fruits and vegetables? So we both wanted to kind of look at the population of people who purchase locally grown food using a statewide cross-sectional survey related to BRFSS, and then look at association between children's intake of fruit and vegetables and parental purchasing habits. So I'm going to go through the methods fairly quickly. We in North Carolina, one of the few states, I believe, who have a child version of BRFSS, or we do a callback system where families that have responded to a BRFSS survey who have children, they receive a callback and get additional questions about that. So we drew eligible participants from our BRFSS survey. And then, as you may know, you can buy questions to add to BRFSS and also to CHAMP. So for a mere $1,000 a question, we bought 5 questions. It seems crazy, but if you think about all the data that you get and all the work that's done in getting that data, it's really quite reasonable, and it helps the system be supported. So we added some questions about local food and barriers. And then we only included households where the children were 1 year of age or older, assuming they would be too young to be responding to trips to farmers markets and things like that. So the key exposure variable or question was, how often in the past 12 months did you buy fruits or vegetables locally grown, such as from a farmers market, CSA, roadside stand, pick your own? Clearly, it's hard to define what local is and that sort of thing. This was the best we could do and still keep it understandable. And then as an outcome variable from the CHAMP data, which is the BRFSS add-on, we were looking at the question on a typical day, how many servings of fruit and vegetable does your child eat, not including French fries? So, you know, that inflates the data dramatically in terms of fruit and vegetable intake. So I'm not going to go through all the detailed analysis on this, but you're welcome to talk to me later about that. We use various weighting schemes that are used as part of the process, looked at the various means and proportions and standard errors, and then did various tests that are kind of in keeping with the sampling strategy that was used for this data collection. So just quickly on sample characteristics, and we had a sample of close to 3,000. In terms of the parent-child relationship who we were talking to for the survey, majority were biological mothers. Kind of a equal mix gender for the child. And then you can scan that down there in terms of some of the other demographic data. Average age of the child around 9 years, household size about 4. So in terms of the results to this question of actually buying locally grown fruits and vegetables, 73% reported at least once in 2008. And families that were more likely to purchase locally in this analysis were Hispanic, those of lower education, larger families, and with older children, which was a little different than the mix we were kind of expecting to see, and actually somewhat encouraging that it wasn't just upper middle class white families who were buying them. And then you see the average intake. I think this is a lot higher than in some studies, and so it may reflect the fact that it was a single item question. We didn't have any control over the fruit and vegetable question. So in this case, the children were coming closer than often to the recommended 5 servings a day, or more, depending on which guidelines you look at. And then we ask about barriers to serving more fruits and vegetables, and we wanted to see whether how local food might play in there. So these things are your kind of standard things that we all look at when we look at barriers to fruit and vegetable intake in terms of you know, families not being willing to eat more, the cost being too high, and you see down at the bottom that only 14% reported easier access to affordable locally grown food as something that would help them overcome barriers. So I don't think that's currently a huge part of the issue. But we did then look at, with the modeling, at what the effect was in terms of both the number of meals consumed at home and the frequency of purchasing locally, just kind of pulling out of this slide. So this suggests, again, reinforcing other data that we have, that more meals eaten at home as a family unit, that there was a higher intake of fruits and vegetables. And also, it did seem that there was an association between frequency of purchasing locally and kids' fruit and vegetable intake. And this was controlling for many other factors that you would think might explain that in terms of education, income, that sort of thing. So in terms of conclusions, it looks like there is at least a hint of an association between caregivers purchasing locally grown foods or fruits and vegetables and then seeing an intake in children. And you could imagine that could relate to those things we talked about earlier of fresher taste, you know, fun being involved with going to the farmer's market, that kind of thing. And then it does reinforce this notion that eating more meals at home tends to lead to more fruit and vegetable intake. In terms of limitations, we had a single measure of our two main variables, cross-sectional data, and certainly potential for social desirability bias. Just a few kind of observations. I think our data does challenge the assumption, as I mentioned, that most local food purchasers are just high-end, more higher SES folks. It does support the need for more family meals at home. Overall, local food purchasing is still quite limited, as I think we all know, but there's certainly, and I think you'll hear from other speakers, how we're moving towards increasing that. And certainly cost and family acceptance are still important factors. And as I was sitting in the opening keynote session, fiery sessions yesterday, I don't know how many of you went to that, I thought, oh, maybe I should add something about social justice. So, and to me, I think that we can really make local food a social justice issue in a way that may be surprising to some people, but I think it does look like there's potential for improving fruit and vegetable intake in all children, not just higher SES. It does require a lot of attention to healthy food access, and ultimately we're going to have to move forward all the use of EBT, electronic benefits transfer, that allows the use of WIC and food stamps or SNAP at farmers markets. And then there's the whole other additional potential, and in North Carolina this is particularly key because we're losing farmland at the highest rate in the country, or tied perhaps. A lot of that is because tobacco is no longer subsidized through the government. So people who used to survive because they had tobacco subsidies now have to figure out if they can maintain their farmland. So I think the local food movement offers some opportunities there. But it will also really require prioritizing food access issues to avoid this kind of bourgeois local food notion that really we make sure that farmers markets also cater to the needs of former tobacco farmers in our case, and they're not just kind of new generation, sometimes we say hippie farmers, which we want to support as well, but also make sure that we don't pass over the opportunity to work with rebuilding local food systems that were very agriculturally vibrant and no longer are. And so issues about affordability of healthy food, that intersection between food security and local food is a big question, keeping the prices affordable, but also fair return to farmers, and then preserving the agricultural opportunities. So this, I just stuck this in here. My family is from Kentucky, and I was back there recently with my 95-year-old dad visiting with his relatives, and we were searching around, and we knew there was an Ammerman Pike somewhere, which is a road about this big, but I didn't know, and I was very pleased to find that the Farm Fresh vegetable sign on Ammerman Pike. So my roots go deep.
Great. Well, we have time for a couple questions.
Yep. No, we thought about including that in the whole question of, you know, whether you buy locally or grow, but then we figured that would kind of add too much, and we didn't want to pay another $1,000 for the question. but it's a good one. I think that's certainly an area that we need to explore. Yeah.
I wonder about the reverse causality and cross-sectional, that people who eat lots of fruits and vegetables then buy local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always that possibility. We think the fact that some of the things we controlled for, which would tend to represent the typical eat local folks, were not as explanatory as we thought they might be, might help understand that, but it's always that issue. Yep.
Was your survey in just English, or was it in other languages?
Oh, just in English. Was the survey just in English or also in other languages? So I don't know. How commonly is BRFSS administered in Spanish as well? Anybody know from their state or other languages? No, it's a good question. Yeah.
You know, I think people should come up to the mic to ask questions because it's hard to hear.
Thank you for your presentation. I was interested that only 14% of your respondents are SNAP recipients. So I'm wondering how that compares to the state as a whole and how you think that impacted the results.
Mm-hmm. It's another good question. And this was before the big upswing that we've seen in SNAP participation with the economic downturn. But the BRFSS does attempt to sample purposefully in terms of getting a broad spectrum. So it was not the kind of sample that we would often do that would kind of particularly target lower income consumers. So it should be reasonably representative of the state at the time. Now, having children and that be another winnowing down criteria makes a difference, I'm not sure.
Thank you.